This parable we're going to look at tonight about the 10 virgins and the next one about the talents only appear in the Gospel of Matthew. They come during a discourse the Lord is having with the disciples, and that's found in Matthew 24 and verse 3. And we're just going to look at a few verses there before we go in to the parable. It says in 24 and verse 3, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" The disciples were interested in what was going to take place prior to the Lord coming back again. He didn't only come once, but thank God he's coming again for his redeemed people. And I believe there's going to be great deception before the Lord returns again. It says in verse 4, and that is the Lord's first words to his disciples. "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you." There's going to be deception. Deception will play a major part before the Lord returns. We see it all around us today. We see deception in the political field. We see it in the economic field. We see it morally. And most of all, we see it in the religious world. Never was a day when there's never was more deception all around us. Take heed that no man deceive you. Verse 5 says, "Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." It doesn't say few, but it says many. Verse 6, they're not only going to be deception, but they're going to be disasters. Verse 6, I'll just read it to you, "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." It doesn't say the end of sorrows, but it says the beginning of sorrows. Verse 11, "Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." There's going to be deception. There's going to be disasters. And verse 12, what does it say there? "Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." The love of many shall wax cold. There's going to be deadness and dryness. And we're living a day of deadness and dryness. Never was an age, I believe, since I got saved, there wasn't more deadness and dryness amongst the people of God. Many as waxing cold. What does it say in verse 37? "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark." What sort of days were Noah's days? Well, I'm just going to read you a verse or two from Genesis 6, and I'll give you a wee picture of what those days were. Genesis 6 and verse 5, "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." And verse 8 is a great verse. "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." The Lord repented the Lord they had made man. Those are very solemn verses. And you know that's what's going to take place prior to the Lord's return. There's degradation and there's depravity. Not only deception and disasters and deadness and dryness, degradation and depravity. And then we come to chapter 25. "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom." I told Colin on Tuesday night, we're coming home, take you a good long time for testifying, brother, for I have only a wee short word. He says, most of these boys that preach us has 5 points. Well, I haven't got 5 points. I'm sorry to say I've just got 4 points. But that's what the Lord has given me, and we're just going to look at them very simply tonight. Firstly, we're going to look at the similarity was exhibited. I want you to notice they were all virgins. It says there in verse 1, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Their morality was good. They were all upright. They were all in good standing in the community. They had got a good character. And my, there were someone you wanted to speak to and rub shoulders with. There was nothing wrong with them as far as their condition was concerned. And I want you to notice, secondly, they went all forth to meet the bridegroom. That's what it says there. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamp and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And I do believe that there's not a soul come through the doors of this church, but one day they expect to be in heaven. One day they intend to reach that place in heaven. But you know, as I tell the class many a time, you could know all about the bus routes, and you could know all about the times the bus goes at, and you could know the destination and the fare. But if you never come and get on the bus, you'll never reach the destination. I know there's young people and there's older people in this congregation, and you know the way to heaven, you could maybe preach it, but you're not on the way to heaven. You're going the wrong direction. You're going in the wrong way. And here was the virgins, and they all went forth to meet the bridegroom. And they all had lamps. It says there, they all had lamps. They took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Is that what you've got tonight? Have you got the lamp of religion? You maybe can sing. You can maybe even say prayers. You can maybe even read the Bible. And it's good to do all those things. But is that all you've got? You can fit in. You look the part. There's nothing wrong with it. But you've only got a lamp of religion. You haven't really got the oil in your heart. And I want you to notice what it says in verse 5. This is the similarities that was exhibited. They all slumbered and slept. The wise as well as the foolish. And you know, that's a picture of what's taking place today in the church. Maybe not literally, and sometimes it could be literally, but you know, there's a lot of sleepy people about today. We're living in a sleepy age. We're living in an age when there's not many hallelujahs about. If you shouted hallelujah in a church now, you'll think we're going Pentecostal. Now we need to see the Lord coming again and sending us a spirit of revival in our churches and in our prayer meetings. We need to be able to shout amen. And as our brother was praying in the prayer meeting, not a manufactured thing, but something from the Lord, something that will know the hand of the Lord upon us. And it's an indictment in the wise virgins, for they slept as well as the foolish. They all slept. The similarities that were exhibited. I want you to notice, in the second place, the striking differences that existed. Oh, there were differences there. 5 were wise, and 5 were foolish. The foolish had their lamps, but there were no oil with them. The foolish, they looked for the oil from the wise. And you know, there's a lot of people like that. The devil used to tell me before I was saved, you know, that your father and mother are saved, your brothers and sisters are saved, and God is a God of love, and he'll not close you out. You know, that's a lie from the devil himself. You know, I was just reading the other day, you know, we'll go single file before the judgment seat of God. We'll not be going in groups, but we'll be going single file before the Lord. And you know, the foolish had made no preparation for the bridegroom coming. They had the outward shell of religion, but they had not got the inward work of God's Spirit upon them. Back in Matthew 22 and verse 11, just back a wee bit there, and it's about the king. Matthew is the gospel of the king and of the sovereign. And it says in 22 and 11, and when the king came in to see the guest, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having on a wedding garment? And he was speechless. I understand that the weddings and the east took, the host always provided the wedding garment. And this man thought he didn't need it. He thought he didn't need the robe of Christ's righteousness. He thought he could get to heaven by going to church and by doing the best he could. And he went in without the wedding garment on. Is that you tonight? Do you think you don't need God's salvation? Do you think you don't need to be saved and born again of God's Spirit? This man, he just went in amongst the rest of them. I'll be all right. I don't need the wedding garment on. And when the king came in, he noticed him. And he said, "Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having on a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. And what does it say in verse 13? "Then said the king to the servants, bind them hand and foot, and take them away, and cast them into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen." How the foolish, how foolish not to be ready. How foolish not to be ready. Their lamps went out when they needed them most. Oh, it was all right during life. You'll maybe be all right during life, friend. But how will you do in the swelling of Jordan? How will you do whenever the midnight hour strikes and the Lord says time is up? You'll need something then to lean upon. And if you haven't got the Lord in your heart, and if you haven't come in simple faith and accepted Christ as your Saviour, you'll hear those awful words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." What about the wise? The wise had not only the lamp, but they had oil in the vessels with their lamps. They had the vessels with them, and oil in the whole, and the Scripture speaks of the Holy Spirit. And this is in the Word of God, "They that have not the Spirit of God are none of His." And you know, they had the oil with them. They had made preparation. They had accepted God's provision. They had the wedding garment on. The wise were ready. And it says in verse 10, "They that were ready went in with him." I love that verse. They that went ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. They that were ready went in with him, and the door was shut. Thirdly, the safety of a shut door. The safety of a shut door. 25 and 10. There was no danger of falling out when the door was shut. There was shelter and behind the shut door. Good to be in some of these rough nights and the door closed. There's shelter there. Maybe you come home late some night and the door locked. Something foreboding about a locked door. But there's security inside the shut door. I think often of Noah. You know, Noah built an ark to the saving of his house. And it says in Genesis 7 and verse 1, the Lord was already in the ark. The ark wasn't Noah's planning, but it was God's planning. It was God's salvation for Noah and for his family. And the Lord called Noah, "Come thou and thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." And we see in verse 16 of Genesis 7, "And the Lord shut him in." For 7 long days before the door was shut, the door stood open. And I'm sure Noah came to the top of those steps many a time and looked out. And he said, "There's not going to be anyone else coming to the place of safety." And you know, there's no one else coming. And that door started to close up, and the Lord closed them in. And he closed Noah and his wife and his family into safety. And that's a great thing to be in the ark. There's only one ark. And there's only one door into that ark. And thank God, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And so go in and out and find pasture." The hymn says, "What a day that will be. And my Jesus I shall see, and when we look upon his face, the one who has saved us by his grace." And he takes us by the hand, and he leads us to the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. It's a place of safety. The wise accepted God's grace. They accepted the door of mercy. They accepted the door of hope. And they accepted the door to heaven. Thirdly, the safety of a shut door. Where are you tonight? And lastly, and fourthly, and lastly, we want to look at the solemnity of being outside the shut door. It says in 25 and 11, "Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us." the door that shut Noah and his family into safety. Our brother was speaking about it in the match night service. Also closed the all-known world out for judgment. Oh, friend, where are you tonight? It closed out the foolish virgins. They came too late. They said, Lord, Lord, open to us. They came too late. There was sorrow of being shut out. There was separation of being shut out. There was darkness. Notice the time. It was at midnight. They were outside in darkness. And as we're reading, there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. We read in John 13 and verse 30 about Judas. Judas was in the upper room with the Lord and the disciples. And you know, it says in the Word of God that he went out and it was night. He went down those steps. I often think about it. I heard Wally Mullins speaking about it many years ago. And it was it really struck me. He said, Judas left the presence of the Lord and his disciples. And he went down those steps. And the Lord never followed him. He went out and it was night. And I want to tell you, friend, if you turn away from the light of the world to go out into night, it's bad enough to go out into the night naturally. But oh, what will it be to go out into that night of eternity where the worm dieth not and where the fire is not quenched. One door and only one, and yet its sides are two. I'm on the inside. On which side are you? It says in Luke 13 and 24, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not, whence ye are. That was the trouble all along, you know. That was the trouble. They didn't know the Lord. It says in Matthew 24 and verse 12, but he answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, I know you not. I know you not. They knew about him. You know about him. You have heard it from your earliest days. But they did not know him in salvation. And it says in Romans 8 and 9, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Do you know the Lord? Oh, you maybe know the preachers in this church, in this denomination, and we thank God for them. But do you know the Lord? Make sure you are known of him. Be ready by accepting God's provision through the precious blood. We hymn, we chorus we often used to sing when we were singing in the Sunday school, say, will you be ready when Jesus comes? Are you sure that you're born again and washed in Jesus' blood? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Say, will you be ready when Jesus comes? Oh, friend, just don't trust any mere profession. This land's cursed with professions. An empty shell of religion. A lump of religion, but no possession. Oh, I trust that tonight will be the night when you will come in simple faith and accept God's offer of mercy. You can look the real thing. You can look that you're saved. You can fit in amongst God's people. You can sit at the Lord's table. You can do all the right things. But oh, I trust that you'll have come in simple faith and accepted the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, thank God, you'll be ready not only to live in 2007, but you'll be ready if the Lord would call you. And this be the year when the Lord would call you. You would hear those, well done, you good and faithful servant, enter thou in to the joy of the Lord. You'll go in with him when the door will be closed. Oh, I trust the Lord will bless this word to your heart tonight. And you'll come in simple faith. And you'll accept the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hymn 164, I'm just going to read a verse before our brother takes over. When Jesus comes to reward his servants, whether it be noon or night, faithful to him will he find us watching, with our lamps all trimmed and bright. Oh, can you say, we are ready, brothers, ready for the soul's bright home. Say, will he find you and me still watching, watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come. May the Lord bless his word to your hearts. And tonight, don't delay. If you have a desire at all to be saved, don't spurn God's offer of mercy. But even tonight, thank God, our minister's here, and we're willing to speak to you, and we're willing to point you the way of salvation. Thank God we don't point you to a church. We don't point you to a set of rules. No, we don't point you to a communion feast. But we point you away to the one who was found worthy, the one who bearing shame and scoffing rid, in my place condemned he stood. He sealed my pardon with his blood. We can say, hallelujah, what a saviour. Take the saviour home with you, and this will be the best year you've ever had. And praise God, you'll be ready to live. And thank God, you'll be ready to die. May the Lord bless his word for his name's sake.